Amen. Who's happy to be in the house of the Lord this morning? All right. So before I get into the word, I just want to bring one other thing to our attention. This Friday, my wife and I are sponsoring a table. We would love for you to join us for breakfast. It is a fundraiser, so I'm just letting you know, it's not just a free breakfast. It is a fundraiser for them. They are trying to raise the money for a bus. So there's a sign-up sheet on the back. If you would let me know you were going to be here, I would greatly appreciate it. And if you just want to come and eat, just come and eat. Just don't tell them I said that. Oh, praise the Lord. So if you turn your Bibles to John, the sixth chapter, John chapter 6, we're going to be reading the 66th verse. John 6, verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you, Lord. God, for your word that leads us and guides us, that's a light to our pathway, a lamp to our feet. And Father, we just ask you to help us see ourselves in your word. Father, that we see your grace and mercy. But Lord, that we see that we can walk with you. We can talk with you. We can share that fellowship with you in such a deep way. That, Lord, that you would transform our lives so that our lives would reflect you and that our lives would cause those around us to see you and want to ask what makes the change. And we can point them straight to you. We thank you for that in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now, there had been a lot of things going on at this time, and Jesus had told them some hard words. In fact, he just shared with them the first of what we know of as of the Last Supper, and he had just told them that, you know, if you don't partake of me, if you don't eat of my flesh, you can't be part of me. And the religious people there, they couldn't understand what Jesus was trying to say. Amen? They were looking for a conquering king to conquer the Roman army, and Jesus didn't come as a conquering king to conquer the Roman army. He came as a conquering king to deliver us from sin. Amen? But they just couldn't understand that. And so when Jesus was trying to explain to them the spiritual things, they just couldn't understand it. And so they started walking away. And, you know, Jesus had crowds. He had just fed a crowd of 5,000 people. And yet, they just walked away. And so we can't understand this guy. It's too hard. That's why I titled my message this morning, The War of Words. Because there was a spiritual battle taking place that they just weren't cognizant of. They couldn't really picture it because what they wanted to see wasn't what Jesus came to bring. Anybody else been in that place? Don't raise your hand. I'll raise mine. I've been there many times. You know, sometimes I just don't see the picture that the Lord's trying to get me to see, and I'm trying to figure things out. And, you know, most of the time I try to do it the way I see it. How many of you know that just doesn't work? It just doesn't work, you know. We've got to get the mind of Christ and understanding, you know, why he came and what he came to do and what he desires of us. But so many people today, they don't want to hear it. Oh, do it the way I want to do it, or I'm not going to do it. Right? Do it the way I think it should be done, or we're just not going to attend. We'll go somewhere else, or whatever the case may be. We use this scripture a lot around here, Proverbs 18, verse 21. Says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Jesus was trying to bring them life through his words. And they just weren't having it. Jesus, if you can't be the conqueror that's going to conquer Rome, we don't want you. We'll do it a different way. Jesus, if you can't do it our way, don't talk to us about your way. Leave us alone. We're going to go some other way. That's what they were saying. Amen? I mean, let's face it. But Jesus was speaking life into them. He's given us the power of life and death in our tongue. If we need to speak the words of Jesus, and we need to speak life into our community, into our families, into our friends, into the strangers that we don't even know. And we have that ability to speak life into people. But so many times we're afraid. Oh, Jesus, you don't understand. I'm not a theologian. I'm not a preacher. I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to do that. Well, you know what? We don't have to worry about that. All we have to do is say what Jesus said. Amen? Oh, but what if they ask me this question or that question and I don't know the answer? That's okay. You don't need to know all the answers. They don't have all the questions. They might have a question or two, but you know what? You can always just say, well, you know, I'm not sure about that. Let me find that out and I'll tell you. I'll bring it back to you. That's okay. But the power of life and death is within us. It's, you know, when we refuse to share with the lost, we're speaking death. We're allowing that death to go forth from us because we're not bringing life. Wow, where would we be if someone hadn't told us about the good news? I probably wouldn't even be alive if someone hadn't told me about the good news. Because I know where my life was headed. In James, the third chapter, I'm going to try to keep this short because we had, you know, a bit of a long presentation, but that's okay. In James, the third chapter, this is a little bit of a long passage, but bear with me a minute. James says, my brethren, now who's he talking to? The believers, the church. He's talking to those like us, amen? My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about the whole body. Behold also the ships which, though they be so great, are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. In other words, wherever they want to drive them. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindles. Now that can be taken in two different ways. You know, we can speak life. We can kindle the fire of the Holy Spirit, the power of love into someone. Or we can speak death, kindle the fire of hell in someone. And just our attitude sometimes makes a difference. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beasts and birds, of serpents, of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith we bless God, even the Father, and therewith we curse men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not to be. What is James trying to tell us here? James is trying to tell us to watch what we say, to speak life into those around us, to speak the things that will cause someone to look at our life and want to know what makes us so different. But see, a lot of times we condemn. Oh, the church down the street, they don't do it our way. Speak negative. James says it shouldn't be that way. He said we should speak positive. Oh, the church down the street, they're getting people saved. Amen? We speak blessings on all the churches, whether they believe the same way we do or not. It doesn't matter. We speak positive things to those around us so that when they come to us with questions, it'll be a positive impact on their life. But boy, human nature, it's just human nature. That's why we got to kill the human nature, amen? Human nature is to speak negative of things that aren't exactly the way I think they should be. Well, did you hear that message this morning? He didn't say this or this or this. I wouldn't have done it that way. Well, you're not him. You're not her. Simple as that. Amen? Instead of speaking negative things, we need to speak positive things all the time. We can't talk bad about our brethren and expect the world to see the love of God coming out of us. Amen? It just won't happen. I'm going to go back to John, 6th chapter. Starting at verse 63. It is the Spirit that quickens or brings life. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, they are life. These are the words of Jesus Christ. These are the words that we should be paying attention to. These are the words that transform our thinking. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore I said unto you that no man can come to me except it were given unto him of the Father. Jesus was speaking powerful words of life into their spirits, but they didn't want to receive it because it wasn't what they were looking for. How many times does God try to direct us in a certain way? And because it's not the way we want to see it, it's not the way we think it should be done, do we back away and stop following what Jesus is trying to get us to do, what the Father's called us to do? Or we listen to some man and that man says, well, this is this way or this is that way. And we put it above what the Word of God says. And we say, well, I'm going to follow him. Jesus is the ones with the words of life. And the life is the Spirit. Amen? But some just don't believe. And then we go down, verse 66, from the same passage we opened up with. From that time many of disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus to the 12. Now he's addressing his closest ones, the ones he personally looked at and called them by name. He's speaking to the 12. And he says, how about you? How about you? Will you also go away? Is he asking us that question this morning? Are we also going to go away just because the words are hard? Just because, you know, God wants to take us and transform us and change us? I hope not. I hope we're all saying, yes, Lord. I surrender all. Yes, Lord. I surrender. I just want to do what you want me to do. Instead of saying, no, Lord, I'm a little more comfortable in my religious whatever it is that I've got in, and it's make me comfortable, so you know I know I don't have to do anything, I don't have to say anything, I don't have to go anywhere, so I just want to be comfortable. Now don't get me wrong, I am not saying that we earn our salvation. That is not true. That is not true. So hear that clearly. We do not earn our salvation, but our salvation should cause us, hear me now, it should cause us to want to do the will of God, to want to be the best that I can possibly be. How many of you here were in the Army? Got a couple, okay. What was the Army's slogan? Be all you can be. Well, I'm in God's Army. I want to be all I can be for God, amen? You know, remember, how many of you remember that song in the little kids? I may never march in the infantry, ride in the cavalry, shoot the artillery, I may never fly or the enemy, but I'm in the Lord's army. If we're in the Lord's army, we need to be all that we can be for Jesus. Amen? In World War II, Dietrich Bonhoeffer was asked the question. And the question was, how could the church allow an Adolf Hitler to come into power? Now think about this just a minute. Because we could ask ourselves, how can the church in the United States let the things be going on that are going on? And Dietrich Bonhoeffer's comment was, it's a preaching of cheap grace. Here is his statement about cheap grace. He says, cheap grace is the cost of discipleship as preaching forgiveness without repentance. Did you hear that? Without repentance. I can live any way I want and God's going to let his grace come upon me. And we believe that, but that's not in Scripture. Baptism without church discipline. Oh, we'll get baptized. Follow another ordinance of the church. But without relationship, all we did is get wet. And grace without personal cross-bearing or following Jesus, it is a deadly enemy that treats salvation as cheap, automatic commodity, fostering nominal Christianity rather than true, obedient discipleship. So the question is, am I going to follow God wherever he wants me to go? Am I going to do what the Holy Spirit is calling me to do? I want to share a little story about myself. And I was in Bible college, and I was just adamant. I am going to be a rodeo evangelist. That's what I want to do. I'm not going to do anything else. I'm going to be a rodeo evangelist. And I was just going at it as hard as I possibly could. And every single door was just slammed in my face. Now, I didn't ask God what he wanted me to do. I was telling God what I was going to do. You see the difference? One day we were in chapel, and we had, it was during missionary week, and missionaries that had come in and been speaking to us, and you know, I'd felt the tugging of the Holy Spirit, and I wasn't sure what God was really trying. And finally, one day, we had this missionary from China, and he was talking about all the issues they face. And I felt the Holy Spirit start tugging my heart, and I said, oh, God, no, I don't want to go to China. I don't want to go to China. I want to be a rodeo evangelist, God. And after fighting with the Lord, struggling with my desire versus his desire for probably 15 minutes sitting in that pew, I finally got on my knees and I said, okay, God. Okay, if you want me to go to China, I'll go. The next day, I got a phone call from Cowboys for Christ. And the man asked me, he said, is there any way that you could possibly attend a rodeo and preach for me this weekend? (laughs) It wasn't the fact that God wasn't directing me to do what I wanted to do. It was the fact of I was not obeying what God wanted me to do in God's way. And he was just waiting for me to surrender. He was just waiting for me to give my yes before he opened those doors. What is it that God is asking you to do? What is it is he asking me to do? That should always be the first thing on our hearts. God, what do you need me to do? I'm always asking God, God, show me those encounters that you have ordained for me today. I don't care where they are. I don't care if they're in the middle of a big crowd or if they're, you know, off by ourselves. I don't care where they are. I want those divine encounters because I know when there's a divine encounter, there's someone who is hungry for God. Even though they may not know it, they're hungry for God. And when they're hungry for God, the Holy Spirit's already been drawing them. And the words that I speak to them will bring life to their spirit. And so I want those divine encounters. But I could say, you know, I'm comfortable doing what I'm doing. Just leave me alone. And you know, the sad part of that is God will say, okay, I'm not going to force you, but you're going to miss out on so many blessings. You are going to miss out on so much of seeing the power of the Holy Spirit move through you. There's no greater thing that I've ever done than lead someone to the Lord. To have them say, ah, I get it. That light bulb to come on and say, will you pray with me that I might receive Jesus as my personal Savior? There's no greater thing we could do. We could fill this church 5 times every Sunday morning and it wouldn't be anywhere near as good is having a person come down and say, I want Jesus as my Savior. Amen? But the question is, are we going to follow him too? Peter's response is epic. It's typical Peter. Peter's a lot like me. I say it all the time. You know, very impetuous, just jumps in with both feet. He said, where else can we go, Lord? You have the words of life. Where else can we go? There's no place we can go except to the Lord. There's nothing that we can do that's greater than allowing the Holy Spirit to move through us. And if you've never had that opportunity, I know you don't really know what the feeling is, but there is no greater feeling in the world than to be able to lead someone in the sinner's prayer and watch as the Holy Spirit comes in and begins to transform their life. It's even a greater pleasure if you've got a relationship with them and you can disciple them and watch them grow. And watch as all these other light bulbs start coming on when they realize how good it is with God. But it's a war of words. We're fighting a war. We're fighting a battle. Amen? So let's fight a heavenly battle. Let's share the love of Jesus with everyone that's around us, with everything that's within us. That should be our goal, amen?